Yeah, this is going to go really well or really bad. Either way, you're going to experience real love. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to be good. I'll tell you what inspired this morning is...
Wait, hold on. Before you talk about that. Yeah, don't... Hey, there's one thing when you're... when you show up on a Valentine's and you don't have anything to share. So all we have this morning is just a message. So I want to apologize. Oh, wait, that's not true. Actually, my brother-in-law actually gave his wife flowers on Valentine's Day. And so I can't let my brother-in-law outdo me on a day in which I'm preaching. So come on, bring it out. I got your whole truckload of flowers. Come on, somebody. All right, now you got to preach holding those things.
I can do it. I can totally do it.
All right, now what were you saying? Thank you,
babe. We're out of here. Happy Valentine's Day. You guys have a good church service. No, I'm just kidding. I will give these away, actually, temporarily. I mean, what do you do with big flowers like this, Pam? She's used to big flowers. I'm not as used to this. Okay. What inspired this morning.
Hey, wait, that was a dig at me already. That's not true. I get them a couple times a decade.
It is true. If you don't know Tim and I, I am Pastor Lynn's sister on Good Days. And so obviously we get the privilege of pastoring with my brother and sister-in-law. Before that, we all worked in ministry with my father, so this is definitely a family affair. And so if we can still be standing here and love one another, that's the first miracle of the day in the house of God. So, but what really inspired this morning is, so I started a podcast called Engage with Ange. So shameless plug for my podcast, you can go subscribe. The month of February, Tim is my special guest every week because we've been spending the whole month of February talking about marriage. And so if you want to go back, if you want more of the fun you're about to hear today, you're welcome to go back and listen to it. We've done two episodes and then we've got two more coming up. So when we did this, Tim's like, we should share this on Valentine's Day. So then we had to go beg my brother, and he reluctantly was like, I hope the Spirit of God shows up. Yes, I'm going to let y'all come do this. And so that's kind of where this came from. And I love these red chairs. They're kind of fun.
I do too.
All right.
Get into the Word of God? Can we pray real quick and just ask God to come into this and guide and shape our words so they find good soil in your heart. Amen. Come on. Father, we thank you right now, Lord. We know, we trust, we obey your word. Father, your word says, Lord, let us not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer as well. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, whether they're watching at home, in a car, wherever they may be, in the auditorium. Lord, we pray, let our words, Lord, pour into good soil. Let it find good soil this morning. We ask you in all this, and we thank you in advance for incredible breakthrough, incredible miracles in all types of relationships. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout out big loud, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Hey, as my lovely wife said, this
can
is...
Can I say this really quick? This can happen a lot. But I want to say...
I was just getting started.
I want to say today is not just going to be about marriage. So if you're in the room and you're like, I'm not married, great. Valentine's Day, I came to church. I wanted to not talk about that. We're going to talk about some other stuff. So I want you to prepare your heart and don't shut yourself off, okay, if you're in a position today where maybe you're not married to somebody, because that's a part of what God's love is for us. So
yeah, very good. Hey, since we're going off script here, hey, real quick plug, Chris Tatum, will you stand up real quick? He leads out for all of this area on behalf of men's ministries. He does an incredible job with Man in the Mirror, and honored to call him a friend, and we spend quite a bit of time together just talking about the how do we change the hearts and the lives of men, amen? And so it's tough ground, but I believe God is producing incredible fruit. Hey, shameless plug for the men as well. Every Wednesday night we get together at 7:00 for a connect group, and it's the last 2 weeks it's been incredible. So, hey, open your Bible if you would. Will you flip over to the Gospel of Matthew? And so we've got a few things, as Ange was saying, that we want to kind of set the stage for this morning. And just to reiterate, this is not just exclusively about marriage. It's about love. It's about relationships. All of us have relationships. Let me shout all. All of us have some kind of relationship that I believe this message, we believe this message will have an impact to. And so if you're in the Gospel of Matthew, if you don't have your Bible, we'll put it up behind us. In Matthew 22, it's a very, very familiar scripture, hopefully, to most of us that are believers, or even if you're not a believer, you've never heard the gospel before, I pray there's a bunch of folks that fall in that category, because it's going to be an awesome day for you. But it says in verse 34, it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees who had gotten together, one of them, an expert, isn't there always one in the crowd, amen? There's always one person in the crowd always wanted a question. Tested Jesus with this question, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all, somebody shout all, with all of your mind. For this is the first and the, what does it say? And the greatest commandment. That's the gospel, y'all. That's the gospel. If you want to just make it that simple, Jesus just boiled down the hundreds of laws and hundreds of things that man created, and he boiled it down into one law. Love God. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, everything you got. And then he followed up in verse 39. He said, and the second is very much like it. Love your, who?
Neighbor.
Love your neighbor. How about the neighbor that you don't like? Does it have any qualifications in that verse?
No.
Nah, you come on, you got to work with me. Does it have any qualifications in that verse?
No,
it does not. He just said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's powerful. We're going to unpack that a little bit more. And all the law and all the prophets hang on just these two commandments. Can I just make a declaration? It's going to be real hard for both of us to sit while this message. I just want to jump out of this seat right now. So can I just make a bold statement for us as a church? That Jubilee as a church, we are for healthy marriages.
Yes.
See, there's a lot of things that we could come out against. But I want to declare on today, the launch of Love Week, I want to declare what we are for as a church.
Yeah.
We are for healthy marriages. We are for transparent and honest and vulnerable conversations. Mm-hmm. Amen? We are for expressions of love to our spouse, to our family, to our church family, to your neighbors, to people you don't even know. We are for us expressing. Pastor Lynn said it best. Love is not just about talking about it, but love is about doing it, showing it. We want you to know that we are for growing relationships in Christ. Is that all right, you all? Does that clarify exactly where we stand as a house? That we are for the relationships to see God grow and develop and mature. And we believe that as a result of today, the process is going to start. For you see, here's the reality. Everything that we're going to talk about this morning, everything is in reality of this one truth, is that we must know God. Amen? Amen? If we don't know God, then everything that my incredible wife and I are going to help pour into you, it will go in one ear and go out the other. Because without the foundation of God, and why is that important? Because the Bible says God is what? God is love. Mm-hmm. So for me to understand how to ever love my wife or love my neighbor, I have to first know God.
Yeah.
That's where the starting line is this morning. It's in God in his nature, God in who he is. God created you and I. God created his son in order so you and I can experience life and eternal life. That's the nature of God. God is love. So don't ever anybody tell you or your own self tell you that somehow, some way, God doesn't love me because of what I've done, because of what I've said, because of what was done to me. Amen? God is love. God is love. In fact, I want to read, and Pastor Lynn started stealing the message already, so I was hoping he would quit stealing the message. Hey, will you go to 1 John? I want you to underline this in your Bible. It's 1 John chapter 4 and it's verse 7 and 8. And I could spend the rest of the time that we have together. I'm just going to read two quick verses. It says, "Dear friends," that's you and I, "let us love just a few folks that we know." Wait, sorry. Wrong version. Let me start this again. "Dear friends, let us love just a few folks on Facebook because I know I'll never see them again." Oh, thank you for the clarification. It actually says love what? One another. For love comes from who?
God.
Comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Last verse. Whoever does not love
doesn't know God.
Does that just make it real simple for us as believers, as men and women that have been born out of the love of God? Amen. All of us have been, that we must know God in order to love like God. If not, we will be lost. And that last person says, because God is what? Shout it. Because God is what?
Love.
Shout it. Say, God is what?
Love.
Because God is love. I just dropped the mic on her right there.
My
Did
turn.
You see that?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you right off the bat that preparing a message with Tim Fox was
thrill of a lifetime.
Entertaining. So we have been married. So we're going to share just a little bit of our story just before we jump into some points we're going to share with you today. But we have been married almost 29 years.
Woo!
Yeah, 28 and a half years. And we dated for 5 years. So we have about 34 years of attempting this thing under our belt. So I think we have a little bit of runway to share our experience with you today, right? And it hasn't been 34 years of perfection. If anything, it's been the opposite. But we have learned a lot, and we are still learning. And we have grown a lot, and we are still growing. And so we're going to share just a little bit of our story, because both of us, when we were dating, had to come to a place where we had to know God first before he could build a relationship here or with anybody else, like Tim was just sharing. And so the first thing I'm just going to kick off, I can't sit down, y'all. The first thing that I'm going to kick off and say.
That lasted 2 minutes, y'all. 2 minutes for the record.
Yeah, you talked longer than 2 minutes. But now you made me lose my train of thought. See, I'm standing up. So when we were dating, right, when we were embarking on this whole experience, God had to do something individually in each one of us. He had to grow something here before he can grow something here. And that's in any relationship. There was a long time that I had been hurt by some friends, and that's a whole nother message, when I was like 12, 13, horrible middle school years. And I was devastated and said, I will never trust a friend. I will never have a friend. And I just, in the last, 15 years of my life, have learned to do that. So I'm not just talking about marriage, it talks about other things, but you have to recognize and allow God to heal and know things, and we're gonna talk about that. But, when we were first engaged, everything was just so great most of the time. When you're engaged, so our daughter right now is engaged to be married. She does not want us to talk about her, but I'm going to talk about her just for a brief second, because we right now are in wedding heaven, and in 4 weeks that little union will be happening. She will be moving out, bless the Lord, and Noah is taking her and all her bills.
And the dogs as well.
And the dogs. We are going to like celebrate. I'm just kidding, Jazz. We love you. We're going to miss you so much. But when you're engaged, so we've been watching these two. They're engaged. When we were engaged, everything is all great. You spend all the extra time. You're on the phone all night. We didn't have cell phones, so we didn't text or anything like that. Maybe we would have. I don't know. But back in the day. But, it was all this attention and all this time spent and all of this stuff, right? And then you get married. Crickets. And everything's great for a little bit. And then you're no longer engaged in your marriage. Can I say it like that?
Yeah, come on.
And I think that there is a time, and this is for any relationship you have, even a potential relationship that God has for you. You need to learn to not just make the commitment to the relationship, you have to stay engaged. That includes your relationship with the Lord. Because we say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, are you still engaged with him? Or do you just see him on Sunday when you come in here? Do you just talk to him one day a week? Does he get any of your time and attention?
That's right.
So it's any relationship. So when we make a commitment or a covenant with someone, starting with the Lord, we have to stay engaged. So when Tim and I got married, I had never lived out of my parents' house. I was a little bit spoiled. I do not want my brother to amen me at all. And so we moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so when we got there, the first 3 or 4 weeks was like playing house. It was so much fun. I had all my little stuff, and I was setting up my kitchen, and I was doing all my little stuff. I'm like, oh, this is so fun. And then about a month in, I was miserable. I was like, what have you dragged me into, and why am I here? I have no friends here. I have no family here. I am by myself all day. I haven't started my job yet. I haven't gone back to school yet. This is horrible. The only person I get to see is him. That's it. All
and that's
day.
Highlight of your day, right?
We didn't even have an animal. I was just like, again, I said it was fun for a bit. But then I'm like, this world is too small. And you'll hear me say all the time, the smaller your world, the bigger your drama. And so it got to a point, and this had nothing to do with Tim. Tim was going to work every day, being the man he was supposed to be. I can tell you right off the bat that I am the problem in our marriage. I will tell you that right off the bat. And he didn't disagree. And he did not disagree with me. That's, you know.
Hey, I got flowers, so I'm good. I gave flowers, so.
So let me take you back real quick. Throw those pictures up. This is where it started. We were so happy. I know, look how skinny we were. So nice. That was before a baby and chemo. Thank you, Lord. This was our engagement. This was our rehearsal dinner. I know, precious, right? And there it is. Then it started.
It went downhill from there, folks, right there. I shoved cake in her face, and she shoved it back.
And, yeah. So, anyways. But, you know, the point is, like I said, it was all fun in the beginning. Because I'm like, this is going to be great. And so when I realized that everything wasn't about me anymore, maybe I need to sing that song again. For when we lose. No, I'm just kidding. When I realized it wasn't about me anymore, that it was something I had to work at, I realized relationships are really hard. Relationships are hard. Look at somebody and say, relationships are hard. They are. They're hard. Your relationship with the Lord is hard. Because we have to work at relationships. You can't just say, I do, or I love you, or I'm saved, or I'm for you, but then you don't do anything else with it.
That's right.
And so in the beginning of our marriage, I'm sorry, I got to put it in the microwave, don't I?
Take all the time you want, hon.
Okay, good. All right. So when this hit me that it wasn't about me, all of a sudden my sweet little cleaning the house every day, cooking dinner every night, all the things I was doing, because I was a perfect wife in those first 4 weeks. That's about it. Yes. So all of a sudden I decided I'm not doing this anymore. I quit cleaning. I didn't cook anything. I stayed in my pajamas all day, every day. He would leave for work. He would come back home. I was still in the same recliner with the remote, watching soap opera after game show, after infomercial. I just did it all day long. And he'd be like, what are you doing? What have you done today? Nothing. What? Are we going to have dinner? I don't know. You can fix dinner. I mean, it was bad, y'all. I'm just going to tell you. It was bad.
Jerry Springer, almost.
It was bad. And so finally, after a couple of weeks of this, Tim had reached his quota with me. And so he was like, that's it. You're not going to sit around here and do this. You're not going to sit around and do nothing in your pajamas all day. You need to get up, pull yourself together. Well, that didn't go over well with me because I am definitely a yeller. I am a pusher back. I will slam doors. I am that kind of person. God has worked on me. I am kinder now.
Yes, you are.
Yes. And so it really came to one of those Jerry Springer moments. I mean, if there had been a camera, oh, it would have gone viral. And it was intense. And I won't tell you that all the words were sane or correct or godly in that moment. And so he was like, listen, I'm not doing this anymore. You pull yourself together. And I was like, I don't want to be here. I hate it. It's your fault I'm here. And he was like, and I'm like, I want to go home. He's like, this is home. If you don't want to be here, don't let the door hit you in the butt when you go. I know, right? I was like, what did you just say to me? And I was like, wait a second, that did not go as planned. You were supposed to be like, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. Let me come and let me help you. No, he was like, listen, if you don't want to grow up and be accountable and work on this relationship, then go run home. And let me tell you something, my mom and my dad for sure would have kicked me right back out of the house to him, I can assure you. And I knew that. So I was like, man, I'm out of options. And I thought I may have to make this thing work after all. But that my point with all of that is that we have to choose to not go into this maintenance mode in our relationships. We have to understand relationships are work. Relationships are hard work. And if we value it and we believe what God said over our relationships, then we better be willing to put in the work. And we better be willing to do it when it doesn't feel good, not when it does. Because that's when it really hits us, right? Because I can hear Jesus saying to me, if you don't want to do ministry, don't let the door hit you in the butt when you go, baby. And he has said that to me many times. I don't want to be in ministry. Church people are crazy. And you know, but God over and over and over has had to pull me back to center. And I've had to choose, I don't like this. It doesn't feel good, but I got to get to where I'm going. So I want to encourage you in that. I'm going to sit back down. That means it's your time to talk. I'm done. But anyway, so number one, your number one point is, relationships are hard from the Lord all the way to every relationship in your life, and we got to be willing to work at it. Amen?
Yeah, you know, the reality is that if there's anything that the enemy hates is a man and a wife that has committed their relationship before Christ and living it out. Amen? I got one amen.
Amen.
There is nothing like a man and a woman on the same page, hauling in the same direction. I didn't say perfect,
right?
But willing to allow the process of Christ to work through them in order to make something that's just beautiful. Amen. And so there's startling statistics. I think in 1950, I found this: 83% of adults in the U.S. were married. Today, less than 50%. In the church, what you and I have experienced, right, and I don't have time this morning for everybody to share their story, but divorce is rampant in the church. Amen? That family, that picture of what a husband and a wife should be, has just been destroyed and shattered oftentimes. And unless we have an encounter with Christ, yeah, unless we do it his way, I'm telling you all, we'll never get it right. We will always be dysfunctional. But I thank God that the Bible says that we don't have to live in a dysfunctional state, amen? That you and I have been born again, and that includes our marriages. And so we want to leave you with a few points this morning that I think is going to help your relationship, not just your marriage, your relationships. Are you ready for these 4 points? Because I believe that God wants to build, as I said in the very beginning, he wants to use our testimony to hopefully encourage, inspire, to challenge, to change your relationships, amen? And we can do this together.
Amen. I'm gonna read out of 1 Corinthians 13 real quick. And Pastor Lynn mentioned this a minute ago. So I'm going to read out of the Message. It's about in the middle of the chapter. And it tells us what love is and what it does and doesn't do. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. You can jump to that other scripture. I think it's a little further down. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Ooh, it's quiet up in here. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Let me say that one again. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never gives up. So I'll tell you, in any relationship, love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. If you believe love is a feeling, then you do not know what real love is. Because love is a choice. And my dad used to say in every wedding ceremony, my brother still says in every wedding ceremony, it's not your love that will sustain your marriage, it is your marriage that will sustain your love. Hello. Because you have to recognize, I made a choice, and I know this is very simple, practical today. I know you're used to Pastor Lynn, and he's very intent. He's been preaching some amazing messages. But hang with us, because this is a very practical piece to walk out what he's been preaching. We have to learn to walk in love with one another. Not looking at what you did or what you didn't do or what I agree or what I don't agree with. And so love is a choice. And the four things we're going to give you, these are four choices that when Tim and I were just talking and praying and getting ready for today, we felt like these were four significant choices that have affected every relationship in our life. Number one, choose to never give up. Amen. Choose to never give up. Choose to never give up on your relationship with Jesus. Yes. Even when you're blaming him. Choose to never give up on that friendship, that daughter, that son, that mother, that father, that spouse. Choose to never give up. Hit somebody and say, don't give up.
Don't give up.
I didn't mean me. I meant them. Love hard when it's hard, y'all. Love hard even when it's hard. This applies to everybody. This applies to every circumstance. People you know, work, friends, political stuff, racial stuff. Quit giving up on people.
Amen.
We got to quit doing that. It's back to what I was saying earlier. We have to stay engaged. We have to stay engaged. And a healthy relationship requires time. And you know what happens? The less and less time you spend with a person, the easier it is to walk away. That includes the Lord. When you're not spending time with him, and you're not around him, and you're not in his presence, in his house, spending those moments with him, it's so much easier to walk away and say, never mind. When you're not spending time with your spouse, if you're married, if you're not spending time doing that, if you're not spending that time, it's so much easier to get angry with them because you're never with them.
Yeah, hey, on that note, I just wanted to encourage, especially guys, and probably ladies, you may be as guilty as well. But for the guys, we have a tendency, I've seen this, and in fact, it's something that I have had to be very conscious of. And that is when you are there, be there. Amen? So when you want to spend time with your wife, when you've carved out time with your family, will you be there? And oftentimes what happens is we'll go into restaurants and just look around. Like if you go and you look around what's happening in restaurants, it's like mom, dad, we were in a restaurant not too long ago. It's like mom, dad, and two kids. I'm like, I don't think I would want to be at that meal right there. Amen? If I'm going to be somewhere with my wife, I want to be there. Amen? There is nothing happening on my phone that is that important. Amen?
Thank you. Yes.
Nothing.
Amen.
Hey, listen, there's nothing that important when I come home from a busy day at work or whatever you and I may be doing that we plop on the couch and somehow, some way, I grab the remote and thinking that that's family time. I'm working it for you, LaShawn. That's not family time, y'all. If the truth is we never give up, then listen, we have to make an investment in the person that God, the people that God has put in our life. Our spouse, our family, people we love, amen? We have to do it. And so that's my challenge, especially for the guys. When you're there, be there. Amen?
Amen. We've got a couple more things. If you're married, I'm going to do this on the fly. If you're married in the room and your spouse is here, all right? Don't stand up if they're not here. It'll be weird. But if you're married and your spouse is here, I want you to stand up. Now you know the statistic is right, right? So maybe 50%.
Yeah. Hey, this is a good-looking group, though.
Hey. All right, so I want you to look at your husband or wife. Just look at them. Even if you're mad at them today, it's okay. We're going to break that down in the spirit right now.
Amen.
We're going to break that down.
Hey, if you're online, do this as well. Go grab your spouse.
Yes. So wives, I want you to look at your husband and say, I love you, baby.
You can be louder than that. Come on, somebody.
Say, I love you, baby.
Oh, that's
you're great. The best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to do my best. Come on, ladies. I'm going to do my best to be all there for you. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to work at this thing. And we're going to have the best relationship we've ever had. All right, guys, your turn. Your turn.
Oh, my turn.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do it if you want me to.
No way. Hey, say woman.
Do not say that. Do not say that. Oh, no.
Say, dear, precious, lovely wife of mine.
You're gorgeous.
You are gorgeous. I choose you, and I will never give up on you. Woman.
Jeez Louise.
Come on, give God a hand. Give your spouse a hand. And I need a spare bedroom tonight, you guys.
Hey. Help me, Lord. You got a lot of friends in the house that are going to help you out, don't you? I got your back.
They got my back.
Really? Really? Hey, we're going to pray really quickly. Come on, just close your eyes. God, I pray over every marriage in the room. I pray over over Tim and I, our marriage, and every marriage that's represented, even if you're watching online, every marriage right now. And God, I declare right now we're going to learn how to do it your way. We're going to see each other through your eyes. God, we don't know how to figure it out, but my goodness, we need your help, Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you to help us and grow healthy relationships, God. Not perfect religious legalism stuff. I'm talking about real love. Show us how to do it, God. I release that over every marriage. I thank you, Lord. We're going to see every marriage prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Amen.
All right, that was not planned, but we're back to the notes.
Impromptu. All right. Hey, I want to talk about the second thing. So first thing is choose never to give up. Amen? Never to give up. Second thing I want to talk about is choose not to keep score. That verse that she read, one of the things just quite honestly, my own testimony, and that as we have had struggles over the last 29 years, I have had to go to the Holy Spirit and ask him for help that I don't somehow, some way keep a scoreboard on all the things and all the things said and not said and all the things done and not done to me and against me and as my wife. It has been one of the hardest things that God has had to deal with me.
I told y'all I'm the problem in the marriage, so.
Well, it's going to turn on me here in just a minute. But how many know as a wife or as a husband or quite frankly as a son or as a daughter, as a mom or a dad, one of the things that we struggle with is we always, our human nature, our flesh, I want to keep score based on what you did or didn't do.
Yeah.
Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
What my mom or what my dad did to me or through me or didn't do to me or didn't do. I want to keep score somehow, some way. And at some point, I want to penalize my mom or my dad or my wife or my husband or my kids, whoever it may be. The Bible says don't keep score.
Yeah.
You don't have love if you and I are keeping score. We have to choose to get past keeping score. Can I have an amen? We have to choose everything she said. It's choices. I have to choose to let that go. Amen? For you see, forgiveness is a very powerful tool that God has given us.
Yeah.
And if I don't choose to forgive my spouse, if I don't choose to forgive my dysfunctional family, whatever the situation you may have, guess what? It is going to eat you from the inside out.
Yep.
And every relationship, somebody say every.
Every
relationship that you and I enter into, you will always look through it through that filter. I was done wrong. I should have had this. I should have had that. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. This happened to me in my life. And so what you are doing, you are keeping
score.
Score.
Yeah, and you know, offenses come, and this includes in every area of our life. So we have been walking out since 2020 offenses of things that have happened 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years ago. It's hard, but we have to choose to walk in forgiveness. That's the greatest way to change where we're headed, is to not stay mad and offended about what happened or what somebody did or what they didn't do to you, but it is learning to say, I choose to forgive them. Forgiveness is not saying anybody's right or wrong. Forgiveness says, I choose to release it. I no longer am going to hold this over somebody's head. I'm no longer going to hold on to this grudge or this offense. If you want to hear a great message on offenses, you can go listen to Pastor Pam. She can preach to you about it all day long. Because offenses don't belong. And we choose to live in offense more than forgiveness. I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so part of this choice of not keeping score is choosing to live out forgiveness.
And just last point on that, there is so much freedom, you guys. There is so much freedom you let go. I'm telling you, I've experienced this in my life. When I quit keeping score of my wife, of once again what happened, didn't happen, or did happen, there was so much freedom, not to her, but to me.
Yeah.
She didn't even know many times that she had caused offense in me because I had bottled it up. And at points, I would just explode. That's how I process things, right? I'm not an exploder at the moment, but I guarantee you, give me a couple days, and at some point, that volcano is going to explode. And it's ugly. It's not godly. It's not pretty. I'm ashamed of it. But through the process of the Holy Spirit and Freedom Weekends, can I give a shout out to Freedom Weekends? Through the power of Freedom Weekends, we talk about closing open doors. Offense is the number one open door for the enemy to destroy every relationship we have. I can tell you today, I am sitting here as evidence and proof. If he can do it in me, if somehow, some way he can work through me to not keep score, he can do it for you as well.
That was good, babe. All right. All right, choice number three, choose your words. So don't give up, don't keep score. This is so fun and positive, isn't it? Choose your words. Proverbs 18:21 in the Message says this, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. That's what it says. So do you want to kill somebody with your words because you need to be justified for a moment? Or do we need to speak life? Sorry, I'm a little bit more raw, Tim. And then listen to this. The verse right after in Proverbs 18:22, find a good spouse and you find a good life. What? In the original version, it says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a
good thing.
I knew y'all would know that verse. Now we just got to live it. Because you got to remember, she is a good thing. Right? And so, but right before that, basically it's saying there, listen, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Your tongue physically is a very strong muscle in your body. Do you know that your tongue never stops working? Even when you sleep, it's constantly moving spit down your throat and doing all sorts of things. It never stops working, just like your heart. Your tongue and your heart are the two muscles that never stop working in your body. You think those might be connected? Your tongue and your heart. That wasn't even in my notes. That was good. Thanks, Holy Spirit. But that's the truth. And so we have to recognize, listen, our words matter. Words matter. Look at somebody in the eyes and say, words matter. Words matter. Words matter. You know that little sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They will hurt you. They will shut down a relationship. Words alone can cut off and shut down a relationship. So you better know how to control this area of your life. You, not controlling the other person, you need to control your words. Yeah. Well, I just got to say what I got to say. No, you don't.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. I'm going to say it right now. Well, go ahead, and you are about to release poison into the room. We would be scared to death if all of a sudden those doors flew open and somebody started throwing poisonous gas grenades like off some movie, like show up like Blacklist, and stuff just started going everywhere and people just start falling dead everywhere because of the poisonous gas in the room. But we will do that with our words all day long.
Come on.
You don't need a gas mask. You just need to stop spewing poison. Words matter. Words matter.
Yeah, you know, so if you want to talk about words, the greatest words for you and I to be affirmed from is the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
If you and I will somehow, some way get our affirmation not from people, although I love, and we'll talk about it, I love when Angela affirms it, but first and foremost, I got to be affirmed from him. Amen?
Right.
His declarations over me and who I am as a man, as a husband, as a son, as a father, it's in the Word of God what he thinks of me, what he thinks of you. Now the question is, as a believer, am I going to believe it? Amen?
Right.
For you see, what happens is that we're in a culture that somehow, some way, love is based on performance. What I do for you or what you do for me, I will love you back. But God is not moved by performance. Amen? God's love is constant. God's love loves you and I. In fact, he loved you and I when we were in a bad state, when we were in a deplorable state, when we were yet, what, sinners, Christ loved you and me. He died for us. He took the ultimate gamble to say he loves you by dying for you.
Right.
So your affirmation, although I love when my wife does it, but my ultimate affirmation, I've learned, has to come from him. I got to know who I am in Christ. Can I have an amen? I got to know that Christ loves me despite of me. Amen? Despite what I do and what I say and who I am, despite my beginning, the way I started or the way I finished, it's Christ in me. I will tell you, however, words from your spouse are powerful. We had a true story. I was finishing because of Hurricane Sally. I decided not to pay somebody $2,200 to come fix my fence.
Tim doesn't like to pay anybody anything ever.
I'm a good steward. I'm not cheap. And so I just decided everything that you know, everything you want to learn how to build, you go where? YouTube. So I was like, how hard is a fence to build? Amen. So there I went and bought the fence post, bought the concrete, bought the pickets, the 2x4s, you name it. Had it all laid out. Fortunately, my neighbor did come and help me. But we built a beautiful 50-foot fence. It looks gorgeous.
It's nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Words of affirmation.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.
But then my wife comes out there. Keyword is butt. And you got to listen to the podcast, y'all. Can we talk about this? Get the butt out of your marriage. Yeah, it's really good. Anyhow, and so my amazing, beautiful wife comes out there. She looks at the fence, and this is what she said in terms of words of affirmation. Words really matter. She said, honey, that fence is beautiful, but nothing else in this yard looks good. Nothing. I hate everything. So as a man of God, what do you think is the only thing I heard?
But
everything else looks horrible.
Yeah, so be careful with your words. Okay, so moving on. That's why he gave me this point to talk about. Now I know. He didn't tell me he was going to share that story. But the truth is, we do have to watch our words, and you got to learn to bite your tongue. You don't have to say it. I should have just said, honey, that fence looks great. Good job. Because I really didn't think he could build it inside. I'm telling you the truth. So I really should be grateful that he did it. Thanks to our neighbor, I'm very grateful to Bob, who did actually build the fence. But he did a great job. He did a great job.
Get the butt out of your marriage.
Hey.
Did you hear that?
And we're going to move to the last point because I know we got to wrap it up. But I will say this. When you're talking to people in your life, no matter who it is in your life, right? And again, we're up here, so we're going to banter about marriage because we live that every day. But in every relationship, and this applies to anybody, but men, the number one need for men is to have respect and honor, and usually through some sort of praise or affirmation. It's one of the number one things, you know, men need. It took me 28 years to figure that out. But now, 6 months ago, I've started. No, I'm just kidding. But it's true.
There's hope, y'all. There's hope. Hang on.
There's hope.
Don't give up.
Stick it out. Don't give up. But the truth is, when you begin to affirm and you begin to, I'll gently say, cheerlead. You know, I was a cheerleader back in middle school. It was, again, a terrible phase. I should have never done that. I don't like it. I don't like to fly in the air. I don't like to hold other people on the ground. It's just a bad situation. I liked the skirts. That was it. I think I just wanted to look like a cheerleader. I didn't want to be one. But the point is, when we would cheer at a game, we would cheer even the bad things. Like, they would miss the basket, and we'd be like, it's okay, way to go. You know, we have to learn to cheer one another on with our words, even when things don't go well. And we need to do that. And vice versa, women need security. They need a safe place. And so when words go awry, you don't feel safe. When words start coming from somebody else that you know that sound like what my daddy did to me, what my mama did to me, what so-and-so did to me, all of a sudden you can't hear those words. You can't receive anymore. And that begins to go south really quick. Because it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel secure. So those are some practical things about your words.
Hey, I know we got to get wrap up for that fourth point. Can I just say this to all the guys? Be your wife's biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
Be your wife's biggest cheerleader. Invest in her success. Did you hear me? All my single guys, will you make that note? Will you put it on your phone, write it down somewhere? If you put others ahead of you, what you lack and what you want and what you need, God will bring it back to you. Amen? It's called the law of reciprocity, that whatever I do for others, God will do for me. Amen? And especially as it relates to your spouse, I believe how God has supernaturally healed our marriage over the last few years, I've just come to the realization that I'm not in competition with my wife. Right. Amen? I'm not in competition with her. Her giftings and her callings and the grace and the things that God has put in her, they're not a competition with me. That we are one. Amen? And through that process of God making two one, it's challenging. It's hard. We talked about it. But once we realize that we are one, I'm not competing against her. In fact, what I've said many times to her, I'm going to push you to see everything that God has done on the inside of you because I believe in you. Man, you want to talk about unlocking a woman? You want to talk about unlocking a wife or your mom or a friend, whoever it may be? Tell them that you believe in them. Tell them that you're willing to fight for them. Tell them that you're willing to go the extra mile for them. That it's not about you. It's about her. It's about him. Amen? All right, last point.
Yeah, and I'm going to share this super fast. So the other day, and I'm going to put Jadeen on the spot, but Jadeen now works with Tim Fox every day.
Hey, pray for
her. I pray for her. But Jadeen is our head of school, and she's a super good friend of mine, and she's, you know, like part of our family. But she was having a conversation with Tim, And Tim said to her, you know what, Jadeen, you really do a lot of work around here. Like, he began to talk about and affirm all the things that she does here and how much, you know, and she came to me and said, you don't know, like, he really, like, recognized, and that meant so much to me. So you can, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you're talking to, affirmation and the right words where we're looking to cheer someone else on and not be about what they're not doing. But be, you know, it's like he said in the very beginning, what are you for? Yeah. You know, Dave Wagner shares that story that he was talking to somebody there and said, well, if you're a Christian, I know what you're against. What are you for? Yeah. Yeah. We say what we're against all the time. We have to apply that in our relationships. What are you for?
Amen. So first one, choose never to give up. Second one, choose not to keep score. Third one, choose your words. Last one we want to leave you with is this incredible part of that second part of the Gospel of Matthew where it talks about choosing others. Choose others. Amen. And so don't have a ton of time left, but I want to challenge us as a church that it is oftentimes it's easy for me to love people that are within kind of my sphere of influence, the people closest to me. Sometimes it's the hardest as well. But as we kick off what we're calling Love Week, right, I want us to actually demonstrate and show the love of God to others. Because remember what Jesus said, love God, love others as yourself. Amen? And so my challenge to us as a church today, in a culture in which we are, quite frankly, consumed by me, me, how good do I look? Do you think I look good? When we're so consumed by getting ahead, when I'm so consumed by what I have and what I don't have and what you have and don't have, when I'm so consumed, what I want to challenge us as a church all across this incredible church called Jubilee, I actually want to choose others. I want to put others ahead of me. You know, there's this great parable. I preached about it last year. Little did I know what last year was going to unlock in terms of our community and our nation. I talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. I don't have time this morning to re-preach that, but I challenge you to go back and revisit that story. The Cliff Notes version of it was a man was injured and two religious people walked by, and then another man walked by who was counterculture and enemies of the man that was injured And at the end of that parable, all the religious people asked Jesus, well, who had the most mercy? Who was the greatest neighbor? And Jesus, of course, said, the one that extended the mercy, the one that extended love. For you see, we love our neighbor, we love others, not because we have to, but because we've experienced love, therefore I can give love away.
Yes.
Amen? So unless you and I really know the giver of love, you and I will never express love to others. Somehow, I'm preaching at you now. Somehow, someway, you would think that you're entitled to all the love because of everything that's happened to you. I'm challenging us as a church, as a wife, as a husband, as a man, as a woman. We have to choose others. For we'll never become the man and the woman and the society and the church and the community that we want to be until we put others ahead of me. And we have to break the spirit of entitlement. Somehow, some way, I'm entitled to whatever love that you and I must. No. The Bible says freely you give, freely you receive. Amen? And so that choosing starts with you and I. I want to challenge us as a church this week as we wrap up. Come on, worship team. As we wrap up, as we kick off Love Week this week, I want to put a challenge out to the husbands, out to the men in the sound of my voice this morning. Whether you're married, whether you've been married, whether you're a single guy, I want to challenge you today that somehow, some way, that through this message, a simple message, that somehow the love of God can get on the inside of you. Yeah. For there's no greater love than to see a man walk out love. There's no greater impact to the kingdom of God, to the church, to the heart of God, to see a man walk in love. There is no greater. And so I'm challenging us as a church this week, as husbands, as fathers, as sons, as wives, as daughters, that you and I, we first this relationship right here, if you are married, that you choose never to give up, that you choose the words very carefully, that you choose not to keep score. And then that last one is to put others ahead of you. That's my challenge to us as a church. We even talked about, Angie and I talked about, that we're going to give $20 to everybody in the sound of my voice for you to go do something with it. And we just didn't have time to really do it well. We may come back and do that. But I just said, you know what? It's not about money. It's about heart. Right. Amen? It's not about whether I have $20 or $10 or whatever the amount of money is. It's about, do I have the heart to choose others?
So this week, and you know, he didn't tell it Love Week, and you know that Tim will love others to the point of overdoing it sometimes because he genuinely cares for other people. He will go and move stuff for people and feed people and, you know, all of these things. But you know what? You feel from Tim, you feel a sincerity, and you're like, man, that guy would help me. Like, he's for real. That's what people have to see. You know, that's the love of God that people have to see. And so this week, our challenge for you and for us is to go love someone else beside yourself this week.
Yes.
In an actionable way. Go and buy somebody coffee. Go and do some random act of kindness. Go and demonstrate. Maybe you do just need to demonstrate love to your spouse because you haven't been doing it. Maybe you have a relationship that has gone bad and you've got to come in. Maybe you just need to say, I forgive you. Maybe, I don't know what it is for you this week, but we need to do an actionable week and don't just celebrate love on Valentine's Day. Make it a whole week. I dare you to do something every day.
Come on.
Every day this week. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's great. It'll bless somebody else. It will change you.
Yeah.
It will change you. I don't need to be changed. Yes, you do. You're not Jesus, so you're not perfect yet. We need the Lord to come in and remind us who's around us, regardless of who they are or where they've been or what they look like or smell like or whatever. We have to love one another. And if you can't choose others, there's no relationship in your life that's going to work anyway, because Jesus chose you over everything else. Jesus chose you. It said no greater thing than a man would lay down his life for his friends. You need to not just have some brotherly love, you need to have some otherly love this week. Come on, just stand up to your feet. Are we done? Oh, sorry.
We're out of time.
Yeah.
Have you gotten anything from this morning?
Thank you.
We want to take an opportunity right now to pray over you. Is that okay? We believe, as we were preparing for this message this morning, that there was an atmosphere, that God was going to create an atmosphere of miracles. See, miracles happen in different shapes and different forms and different types of timing. But there is no greater miracle than the miracle of love. You experiencing it for the very first time. You experiencing it between you and your spouse. I believe that, as Ange said, relationships are work. Marriages are work. They're hard, you guys. But can I put a challenge out to our church this morning, that somehow, someway, through the grace, through the ability in Christ, that somehow, someway, we will plant our feet and we will work at relationships. We will work at going across the aisle. We will work at going across the street. We will work at going across your house even. Amen? Amen? That somehow, someway, God will put on the inside of you a push for us to love.
You know, Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding.
Yeah.
one of the greatest relationships of love that he, you know, he, every time he refers to the church and the earth, we are referred to as his bride. And he did his first miracle at a wedding. Do you think that was by accident? No. He was doing what his mom told him to do because he was obedient. But other than that, he was choosing a miracle. He was choosing to do a miracle and demonstrate relationship matters. And this morning, I don't know, I felt in the spirit that there were people in the room this morning that before you can even work on a relationship, you got to get some healing on the inside of you from some stuff that's already happened. And no greater day than Valentine's Day to let God heal your heart so you can love again, so that you can dream again, so that you can believe for what he has ahead of you. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you've had loss in your life. Maybe you've never been married. I don't know what it is. And maybe you have this mindset that I'll never get there because of this thing that happened or that thing that happened and places that are not healed. And if that's you this morning, I just want to ask you to come up and join me up here at the front, because God wants to bring healing. Maybe you need to come with your spouse. Maybe you need to come by yourself. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I just need you to heal something in me today. Come on, if that's you, come join me. God wants to do a miracle today. I know this is hard. I told you in the beginning, relationships are hard. Make the hard step today. Don't let the enemy win in your life. Don't let the enemy win over you today. God is big enough and he's great enough to restore anything. Come on, I'm going to wait for a minute. There's more of you in the room. Well, why do I have to walk up front? Because you need to make a step. Because you need to not be scared to say, I want this thing healed in me. I want to be delivered of this thing. Come on, I believe there are miracles in the room today. Miracles that are going to change the trajectory of people's direction today. Come on, anybody else?
In the name of Jesus, if you've been keeping score, men, if you've been keeping score about your wife, what your wife hasn't done and has done, this altar is open right now. I feel like a man needs to be delivered from that keeping score. I'm gonna wait just a minute. Come on. There's no shame. This is your freedom right now. Come on. There's a woman that is, you've been keeping score. Come on. You've been all the things that he hasn't done and he has done. All the things that your mama did or didn't do. This altar is open this morning. Amen. There's going to be great freedom in just a few minutes. We're going to pray. We're going to join hands and believe God that God, somehow, someway, you're going to heal. You're going to close open doors. If you've been walking through a fence, you've been walking through hurt. Come on. This is your opportunity to close that door behind you and start anew. Come on, we're just going to wait just another minute. Just another minute. If you've got that in your heart, you're struggling, you're like, oh, that's it. Then get down here. Come on, if you're watching online, I want you to just shut out everything around you. Block out everything around you. This is your minute. This is your moment to get free. In the name of Jesus.
Come on, we'll ask our ministry team just to come and pray.
Come on, ministry team.
And we're going to pray over all of you. If you're sitting at your seats, we're going to release a spirit of love over you today.
Yes, Lord.
In the spirit. Come on, just raise your hands at your seats. While these up here are getting ministry, we're going to minister healing to them. Right now, I want you just to lift your hands. Come on, surrender this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, right now, I thank you for every person in this room. And God, I thank you that you are the originator of all love. And so today, God, I release a miracle
of
love to take place in every heart that is in the sound of my voice this morning. God, that you would do a miracle. God, that you would bring new relationships. God, that you would bring restoration. God, that you would strengthen marriages and hearts and lives in this room today. God, I thank you that there is nothing impossible for you. God, there's nothing you can't do today. And so I pray healing and life. I release life, 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 life over everybody today, God. Where you are and where there is love, there is life. And so today, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. You're doing it today, God. I thank you that marriages will never be the same. I thank you that relationships will never be the same after today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just ask God to fill up your love tank today. Ask Him to fill you up to overflowing today. Ask Him to show up in your relationships. God, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you, God. We need your love more than ever before. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus.
Come on, if you're at your seat, will you just lift your hands real high? Come on, we just want to pray that God somehow, some way brings people across our paths this week. Come on, let's be magnets this week for people that are hurting, that are broken, that have never experienced love. Let's be the example in our marriages, in our relationships, in our family. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, today we just make a fresh declaration, God, with our hands stretched towards heaven. God, let us be, Father God, Lord, givers of love, givers of life, God. Lord, let us, Father God, be magnets, Lord, for people that are broken, that are hurt, that don't know love. God, let us use us, God, to introduce the gift of love. His name is Jesus. So, Father, we pray, God, Lord, as we wrap up today, let, Father God, this get birthed on the inside of us and produce an incredible harvest. An incredible production, Father God, of fruit. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can you give God just a big shout of praise this morning? Come on, can you give God a big shout of praise this morning? Right before you leave, I want you to find five people and just hug them, a virtual hug, a fist bump, something. Let them know that you love them. Let you know that you'll pray for them this week. God bless you. We're so glad you came to Jubilee Church. If you're watching online, you've been watching Jubilee from Pensacola, Florida. We're so glad you're part of our service. Come on and visit us. We're at 5910 North W Street. You can call our church office at 850-474-9484. God bless you. Go love somebody. Amen.